we went down, and I haven't been to a hospital in a while, and so, especially in the critical care unit, you know, it's not like a normal room where you just can show up. We couldn't bring the kids in the whole weekend, so it was just two at a time. And you go in there, and you got rooms with all kinds of different issues going on with different people, and it's sobering. You get in there, and it makes you realize that, wow, Trav, you've been going in your day-to-day life, working, everything going smooth, and here you are up front with basically, I hate to say it, but the word death, that there are people that's lives that are at stake in each one of these rooms as you're visiting your grandpa, for whatever reason, with different ages, whatever. And so it really makes you to start thinking and evaluating your own life and where you're at, and things that you don't always think about, you begin to think about. And one of the things that you know about hospitals is that they're not very much fun. I've never been and enjoyed a hospital visit. They tell you when you can eat. They tell you what to eat, which, because my grandpa's a junk food junkie just like I am, which I need to cut back, otherwise I'll be in the same boat. You know, I think I'm young, so I got time. But they wake you up all the time. It's not comfortable. It's not an enjoyable experience. And the one thing my grandpa, when he got to finally his senses and he felt good, like, okay, I'm ready to get out of here. You know, I'm back to normal. You know what the thing he wanted to do was to go home. And he kept just saying, I want to go home because I don't like the food. For whatever reason, he wanted to go home. And the message that I kind of saw is there's no place like home from the Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. And it began, when he said that, I started to chew on this idea of home. What is it about a home that is different than any other place? And I began to think, how many other people in this hospital have the same mindset that here they are, possibly on their deathbed or whatever, they're getting back to normal, and they want to go where? Home. Home. And not only that, they're thinking about that, but how many of the people are at the end of their lives that want to go to this home that's basically, well, it is temporal. And that's where their satisfaction is. We know as believers, if you're here this evening, that the truth is our eternal home is with the Creator. That is our eternal home. But God places us on this earth, and we live in what we call a temporal home. And so I begin to wrestle with this. When I think of the word, what do you think of the word when you think of home? You think of what? Family is the first thing I call it. Because you always hear, wherever your family's at, that's where I'm comfortable. I can live wherever. I lived in Belize or whatever. It is your wife, your family, your children. That makes it comfortable. It's familiar. Kind of the key word of family, familiar. You're familiar with everything about your home. It's comfortable. I love my lazy boy. I love my couch. I don't feel threatened. And you feel safe in a home. Home has been written about. Home has been had many songs. You've heard of the home sweet home saying. You've heard of home is where the heart is. You've heard of songs, I'm getting closer to my home. I remember, I'm getting closer to my home, you know. Home. And then I began to think of the song, and I haven't had time yet, like I said, because I've been still preparing this. I haven't had time to go on the internet, but there's a song in Chronicles of Narnia that Switchfoot, I believe, is saying, about your home. And there's a line that says, created for a place I've never known. This is home. And then it goes apart, the other line that says, finally, where I belong. And I'm pretty sure they're believers. That whole idea that here we are living, and that's why I want to get the word, so I don't want to totally take it. But the whole idea is that God has created us for a place we've never known. None of us here yet have tasted heaven, our true home. But we're living in a place where there is a temporal home. You know, for those that don't know Christ, and the reason why I throw this out to you is a challenge. It's a challenge for me because I've gotten comfortable with my home. And when I say my home where I live, my surroundings. Those who don't know Christ, home is what to them? It's just the new tile in my home. Come see my new tile. See my new lazy boy. See my Serta mattress. It's so soft. The new flat screen. The granite counters. the nice car in the garage. You get the idea. There are those that are so caught up that I found myself getting so comfortable. We moved in May, about 7 months ago. We got a 3-bedroom now. It's on the floor. We got a garage. I love it. It had new tile put in. It's got a new countertop. Well, I didn't just realize it, all these things. I was just trying to be funny. But yeah, we got that. We didn't get a new mattress, though. We didn't get a big screen TV, although the thought goes through my head. But we find ourselves getting comfortable with these things. If I find myself getting comfortable in these things, imagine someone that doesn't know the Lord, that is consumed with the things that are in their home. But there's a problem. It's temporal, isn't it? Go ahead and open to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. You know, you think about us as believers, very familiar verses. Just I'm going to read three verses. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was basically saying, I'm going to go away. I'm going to be crucified, basically in a few chapters of time. One of you guys is a traitor. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And basically all you disciples are going to leave me. Ouch, that had to be hard to swallow. Something has confronted them, something very heavy, something major, life-changing stuff being told to someone. And I think of someone that's in the hospital, here is something that's going to change your life drastically, that maybe you are not going to live in this familiar world that you've been so used to. And you look at chapter 14, verse 1. And how does Jesus say, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Command. Believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled, agitated, stirred up. You believe in God, believe also in me. Death should not be a big deal to them. Because Jesus, as we're going to see, is going to prepare a place for them. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, a home. Not like this home that you're used to, guys. Your life's a mess. Guess what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And a lot of times as I read this growing up, I always got caught in the fact that it's a mansion. And we hear that word mansion, we automatically think of, the Beverly Hillbillies and this huge mansion that like a guy like me would never live in, but it's going to be given to me. And we start thinking, and most of my life I always get caught up on that, the big mansion that God's, isn't that such a neat thing? Then as I started chewing on this about this home idea, I started to think, wait a minute. It's really not about the mansion. I mean, that's great and all, but it's going to be my home. There's 3 things. My Father's house. My Father's house, what? Heaven. In my Father's house, right? Are many mansions, dwelling places. Many mansions, in other words, dwelling places. And look what it says. If it were not, I would not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That relationship, a place for you. He would receive us. He's going to place to build a home for us because, in other words, this isn't satisfying, these homes here on this earth. There's more to life than just what comes across our day-to-day life. And as we're facing death or whatever comes our way, what a hope that we have that God has prepared a place, that there is a true home. This is how, well, for one thing, it confronts us in 2 options, doesn't it? It compares, in another way, if you're a believer, that's comforting. But if you're not a believer, and you share this with someone, I have a feeling that it would really get them to begin to spin their wheels. And as we begin to share with someone that this temporal house, the thing that you thought was so great in your life up to this point, the cars, the nice houses, the ground, guess what? When you're sitting in a point in your life where you're facing the unknown, it changes your perspective. And we have an opportunity to say, you know what? This isn't the end. There is a home waiting for you that is available to you. And Jesus has provided a way. Man, powerful. Because going back to that, created for a place I've never known. If you look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21, well, this place, that Jesus is talking about. He also refers to it in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Very familiar passage also. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our soon-to-be home, guess what? It's totally opposite of what you own here in Mesquite. Way different. Because our stuff here, moth and rust, they're going to destroy it. They don't last. That's why you have to buy a new car. That's why you have to fix up your house. You got to paint. You got to redo all kinds of things. Buy new refrigerators, which I had to do a few weeks ago. They don't last. And not only do they not last, but thieves can break in and take what you own away. Guess what? Not so in heaven, in this home that we're going to one day be a part of. It doesn't have decay. None of that. But what are we to do? Lay up treasures in heaven. And then one of my favorite verses of the Bible, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? What are you storing up? What is the treasure life? Because what does it say? For where your treasure is, guess what? That's where you're going to be, basically. Your heart's going to follow that. So if Jesus, God's word, is that our treasure that we totally grab a hold of, guess where our heart's going to be? It's going to be pushing, having a passion for those things. Your heart will follow, guaranteed, wherever that treasure is. He has to be our treasure. That sounds good, but it's hard to do, isn't it? Because I know we can sit here and we can hear these things, and it's so encouraging. And we think, wow, that is so powerful, he is my treasure. And then we find ourselves, whatever happens in our life, and all of a sudden, what happened to that treasure that I really wanted to be the Lord? Now I found my treasure in seeking after things that are contrary to what God wants me to. Well, he hasn't left us to be on our own. He's given us his spirit. Since this is not our home, even though I like, how should we live here on earth? Since this is our home, it's not our home, how should we live here on earth? And the last verse that I want to share, 1 Peter chapter 2. So if we know this isn't our home, we know that there's the moth and rust destroy everything here, and we know there is a place that is eternal, that one day will be the home that we get so comfortable with here, which we shouldn't be comfortable with. We go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and we wonder, well, if that's the case, Trav, how are you living here on this earth? What should be the mindset that as we're living? Because if we just talked about how we're not to be comfortable in our homes, which I find myself being so comfortable with, how are we to live? And so 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 says, beloved, I beg you as what? Sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It's all about in our mindset, isn't it? Our attitude. And so whether or not we're walking our day-to-day life or we're in a place in the critical care unit of a hospital or whatever, it's all about what? God's Spirit working with us in what? Our mind and our attitude and seeing things through God's eyes. Keeping in mind that we're just what? Sojourners and pilgrims. In other words, we're passing through. I think the average lifespan of a woman is like 74 and guys are 72. 72 years in the comparison of eternity is a very short time. And I used to, when I was a kid, thinking that's not true. And here I am, 32 years old. And I'm starting to go, wait a minute, that was 15 years ago? I remember my dad used to say 15 years ago, and I thought, that's a long time ago. Now I'm starting to say 15. I started talking to Josh and Jacob, and I said, yeah, I started thinking about 6 years, 20-year reunion for me. The time begins to move faster and faster as you get older, as I've noticed, and a lot of people have told me growing up. Well, if we have the mindset of a sojourner and a pilgrim, we are to what? Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Rick's been covering that on Sunday mornings, this battle that we have. And there is a battle going on. But I think if we would grab hold to the idea that we're a pilgrim, and as I started chewing, a pilgrim with purpose. You see, a pilgrim with purpose is we're here on earth, God has placed us here, we're created for a place we've never known, this isn't our home, what is our purpose? What is it looking like in our day-to-day life? And if we do understand that purpose, are we sharing that with other people that God puts in our lives? As we seek the Lord, and He is our treasure in heaven. He is our treasure as our heart follows Him. It should change our what? Our whole mindset, our whole outlook on life. And, you know, in one sense, in my mind, I think, yeah, I've heard about that all my life. But then as I shared on Sunday when he was saying that, I began to find myself saying, whoa, I found myself trapped. You're getting too comfortable. And I have to be honest with you, about 5 or 6 months ago, my wife and I were praying about moving somewhere. And it wasn't even out of the United States. And, you know, I was really seeking the Lord, saying, God, if you make clear, and, you know, we've been praying about whatever, but thoughts would come to my head. Now that I started studying this, saying, well, it rains a lot more. There's a chance of tornadoes. We may not have this kind of place or whatever. And as I started studying, I said, whoa, wait a minute. Your mindset, Trav, has gotten a little off of where it should have been. This home here on earth, your temple earth, is starting to have an effect on you. That's not good, Trav. I need to smack you around and get you back on track. And so he puts this opportunity of where my grandpa's saying that, but it challenges me to really think about, wow, I'm finding comfort and security in things that I shouldn't be in this home that I call my home here on earth. And so it began to challenge me. So if my mindset is right, and I see myself as a sojourner and a pilgrim, and abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, look at verse 12. Having your conduct or your walk honorable among the Gentiles, so those that don't know the Lord, in your conduct, you know, in other words, your walk, what happens? That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So I'm living on this earth, and I want to have this mindset that this isn't my home. That I've been created for something totally different that I've never known. And so I'm living this life. People are watching the way that I live. They're observing my works. And notice this is that they may observe your good works. As I was studying, you know, just this afternoon, I was thinking, your good works, what about my bad works? It doesn't say that. But you know what? There are times that I'm not representing the Lord and bringing glory to His name. And that, whoo, that's interesting, Lord, that which by your good works which they observe. Lord, I don't always have good works that people observe. I want to, that's my desire. I just want to throw that out to you. That really just started to challenge me. Man, God, my desire, I want to bring glory and honor to your name. I want to have good works. I want to serve you in any way. I want to people to see Jesus in my life. And they have Him, and I have not been representing the Lord. So that's good. That's why God's word cuts to the bone, all the way down into the marrow. It divides. It challenges us. And so it says, that may be good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, in the day of visitation, I had to look this up because you've heard it before. In the Old Testament, usually refers to God's judgment or His blessing. But in the New Testament, I thought this was cool. It speaks of redemption. When the grace of God visits the heart of unbeliever, he will respond with saving faith and glorifying God, or they deny it and receive the visitation of His wrath. You see, when God's grace, when God's word goes out, it confronts you, doesn't it? And you have two options, to receive it and say, Lord, I believe in your saving grace, the price you paid for me. Or you can say, Lord, not now. I'm not ready. Now is not the time for me that I want to serve you or give my life to you now. And so the day of visitation, I thought it was kind of interesting as I read that. The glorify God in the day of visitation. And so our lives, if we're living as pilgrims, people are looking at our lives and they're watching. And this isn't something that I'm sharing is like totally new. We all know this. But for me, as I began to wrestle that, my mindset has been slowly drifting away of where it should be. And it goes back to this idea that there's no place like home. Because once you realize where your home's at and where you're from, it should change your perspective. I remember how proud I was to be an American when I lived in the Philippines and when I had Belize, at least 5 years in each place. I was so proud to be American. That was my home. And so I go there. It was uncomfortable. It was hot. The concrete, there wasn't carpet or whatever. And I would always think about that home. And I'd think, oh, well, there we have this or we have that. And, oh, man, you take pride in it. And here we have God's word telling us about our home in heaven, that there's this mansion that he's going to be there, God's presence, that we're going to be worshiping him. There's going to be streets of gold. Who cares about gold? Because it doesn't matter in heaven what the materials are. It's all about him. A lot of we get caught up, oh, streets of gold and, you know, this emeralds and all this kind of stuff. It ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's going to be about Jesus and the price he paid. And I know I've heard other guys say it, but I believe we're going to see his scars and the price he paid and the scars of the price he paid for us, and we're just going to worship him. And man, when you start thinking about that and you start realizing that it's not about this, it should change our perspective. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm going to fine-tune it, but I hope I challenge you guys. I know it challenged me and for my grandpa. And like I share with you, I honestly don't know. But I feel comfortable to say that for the most of us, as we look at other people's lives, it's safe to say we don't know. Instead of judging and say, well, this person's a believer, this one's not. Because the reality is, when we stand before the Lord, what have you done with my son, Trev? I don't care about anyone else. How about you? And God does call us to observe people's fruits or whatever, but the reality is we do not know the hearts. And you find it time and time again that you see people on TV, Tiger Woods or whatever, you think you got them, they're just this great person, and you find out, guess what? They're not who they claim to be. And it happens in the church too. And we have too many of us fooling one another. But we're not fooling God. And that's the key. That's going to be the only thing that matters. And so as we close in a word of prayer, I pray that would be our challenge this evening as we move on in our week, that we would just go before the Lord with an open heart. Because God's always revealing new things to us. As we spend time in his word, as things come up, look for God to move in your life. As you meet with people and the things that they say, begin to just say, God, I'm a pilgrim with a purpose, so what does that look like as I'm talking with whoever it is, my workmate? Because I know and I believe, Lord, that there is a home, that this isn't our home, and that you've called me to be a light. How am I going to shine the light in this situation? And God is faithful, even when we're not, because we're not faithful. And he will speak to each one of us in different ways in how we minister to other people in our lives. So let's close in a word of prayer. God.